بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We move on to the second hadith in the chapter of purity of the book عمدة الأحكام. And our brother Muhammad Aman will inshallah read for us this second hadith.
Narrated Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, from the Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, who said, Allah does not accept the prayer of one of you if he becomes ritually impure, unless he does wudu.
Okay. First of all, wudu is known to us as Muslims, but what is the translation of wudu? Ablution. And what is the state of being ritually impure? Now, this hadith is related to tahara. And usually in the books of fiqh, they explain what tahara is by saying, first of all, there is tahara which is physical, and there is tahara which is moral. Tahara means purity. So when we talk about the moral tahara, we are referring to the purest thing on earth, which is Islam. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ نَجَسْ, meaning that those who associate others with Allah are impure. Are they impure physically? Meaning that if I touch someone, I have to wash my hand 7 times? No. All what I have to do is to identify them as disbelievers. And this is the greatest impurity that one may have, to associate others with the creator of the heavens and the earth, Subhanahu wa Azza wa Jal. So let's move on to the first meaning, which is the physical meaning. Tahara, that deals with the purity. But even this has a moral definition to it. So what does the scholars, what does the jurors explain tahara by? In Arabic, it's a beautiful statement that rhymes. رَفْعُ الْحَدَثْ وَإِزَالَةُ الْخَبَثْ. 4 words. رَفْعُ الْحَدَثْ وَإِزَالَةُ الْخَبَثْ. So, in English, uplifting the ritual impurity and removing the physical filth. And I'll explain this to you, inshallah. Don't be worried and don't fall asleep. Uplifting the ritual impurity. What is the ritual impurity? Is it something we can touch? Impurity is divided into 2 types, major and minor. So if someone has sexual intercourse, if someone ejaculates, if someone has nocturnal emission, or what is known as wet dreams, if a woman finishes her monthly period, or the bleeding after delivery stops, this is all considered to be something known as al-hadath al-akbar, the major impurity. How can I uplift this impurity? By having ghusl, by having a major bath, what they call a total bath. This uplifts my impurity, major impurity. The minor impurity is what nullifies your wudu, such as passing wind, sleeping, urinating, defecating, when you pass stool, what else? Eating camel's meat. These are the 5 things that nullify your wudu. Now, is this something physical? If I am in the state of wudu, and forgive me, I pass wind, I look, nobody notices, ha ha ha. So I go and pray. Can I pray? No. Why? Because I am in the state of minor impurity. It's not physical. I cannot touch it. I cannot weigh it. Yes, but it is a description that in order for me to stand in front of Allah and pray, I have to perform ablution. This is how important prayer is. Not whenever you want, you just pray. You have to clean yourself. You have to follow a certain ritual so that you can be legible to pray. Not anything that goes. And therefore, it is a condition for prayer to perform ablution. So the Prophet in this hadith is telling us that Allah does not accept the prayer of you unless he performs wudu. If I perform ablution, then I can pray. Now, this is the minor and major impurities and how to uplift them. But what is the second part of purity? Removing the filth, removing the impurity, and this is physical, such as
washing the private part.
Touching?
Washing the private part.
No. After passing urine or urinating or defecating, removing the filth. What do I mean by that? What? Give me examples of filth.
Mazi, we can say. The prostatic fluid.
Something physical? Physical?
No, filth. Najis. What? Give me something najis. Feces, urine, bleeding of animals. If you slaughter an animal, it bleeds. This is najis, as mentioned in the Quran. Mainly speaking, anything that comes out of the private parts, with the exception of many, of semen. And we will come to mention that, inshallah, later on. So these are all impurities. In order for me to pray as a condition of prayer, I have to be in the state of purity, major and minor. And I also have to be clean and not have any impurities, neither on my body, nor my clothes, nor the place I'm praying in. Three things. So this is purity in all the jurors' books. Two things: uplifting the ritual impurity and removing the filth or the impurity or the najasa. And we've talked about the ritual impurity being major, you have to take a bath, or minor, you have to offer ablution. And we spoke about removing the najasa from your clothes, from your body, and from the place you pray in. And we will come to mention this, inshallah. Bye. Now, Allah does not accept our prayers if someone is ritually impure until he performs wudu. What is wudu? It's ablution. What is ablution? Is it mentioned in the Quran? It's mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 6. O you who believe, whenever you want to pray, you must wash your faces and your arms till the elbows, and wipe over your head, and wash your feet up till the ankles. Mafhum. We know this, right? Okay, what are the pillars of wudu? What are the pillars of ablution? How many are there? Four. How many?
That which is mentioned in the Quran.
The mentioned in the Quran are four. But are there four or five or six? You don't know. Easiest thing to say is, I do not know. Muhammad ibn Ajlan, may Allah have mercy on his soul, one of the great scholars of Islam, said, if a scholar misses or forgets, I do not know, he's done. He's doomed. Whenever you ask a scholar a question, he always answers it. And he never says, I don't know. Then this is not a scholar, he's Superman. Imam Malik ibn Anas, may Allah have mercy on his soul, a man came all the way from the Caucasus, or from the area of Chechnya and the place of the East. And he traveled for 2-3 months. And he said, I have about 48 problems I'd like to ask you because my people sent me. Go ahead. And he gave him all these 48. He answered only 16 and he in 32 he said, I do not know. So the man said, I traveled all this distance, 2.5 months or 3 months. What do you want me to go to my people? 48, you only answered 16, and 32, you do not know? What should I go and tell my people? Tell them, he said, Imam Malik ibn Anas, the head of the Maliki school of thought, the Imam of Medina, does not know. And this is a sign that he is a true scholar. So if you don't know, just simply say don't know. If you have a hunch, if you have a guess that is inshallah strong, you go ahead. There are 6 pillars of wudu. One of them is not there, your wudu is invalid. And this is the difference between conditions and pillars. Pillars are part of the ibadah. If it does not exist, your ibadah is gone. Are there pillars in prayer? Such as intention. Did we say that intention was a pillar or a condition? It's a condition. Takbiratul ihram, standing up. Rukur, sujood, all of these are pillars. If someone after finishing prayer says, ah, I should have prayed 4, I prayed only 2. Yalla, inshallah, tomorrow. No, go ahead and pray. I forgot to prostrate. Go ahead, your prayer is invalid. So, prayers have pillars, wudu has pillars, but we will get to know these pillars, inshallah, after the break. So stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Just before the break, we said that ablution has how many pillars?
6.
6. Now, okay, your vision is good. Because usually when I do this with the people, and I say, how many? They say 4. How many? I say, they say 2. And without thinking, no, you have to think before you talk. There are 6 pillars. 4 are mentioned in the Quran. Washing your face, washing your arms till the elbows, wiping your head, washing your feet up till the ankles. And also scholars said, washing the face includes rinsing your mouth and sniffing and blowing your nose. So these are 4. They said, yes, there is a 5th one. What is that? This is order. What do you mean by order? You cannot start with your feet and then your face. It has to be in the same order mentioned in the Quran. Face first, hands, head, and feet. So this is the 5th pillar, okay? Understood? Yes.
And the 6th pillar, can I guess? The 6th pillar?
You want to say the 6th pillar?
Inshallah.
No, I'll deprive you from that. I want to say it myself. The 6th pillar is sequence or continuity, you may call it. What do we mean by that? That you do not leave a pose. I'm making wudu. I washed my face, washed my right, washed my left, wipe my head and feet are left, the phone rings. I go out, assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam, bye, how are you, what's happening, what's you doing? Did you visit your mom? Yes, she was asking about you. How about your uncle? Where are we spending the night tonight? There's a lecture, I'm going, okay. And I spend like 5 minutes with the guy. And I go back to the toilet. Okay, where was I? Yes, I had feet left. I wash my feet. Hey, wait, wait, wait. No good. Why? Look at yourself. The limbs are dried. There is no water or moist on your face or your limbs. So what? So no, you have to have it in sequence. You have to be continuous. So this is the 6th pillar of wudu. One would say, okay, Sheikh, what happens when it's 55 degrees centigrade outside and I'm making wudu, I wash my face, by the time I finish my left arm, my face is completely dry. I do it again? No, because you are doing the wudu as prescribed. Not only that, scholars say that if I'm in a place that's freezing and I make wudu, I did my hands and all of a sudden the water is cut and I had to go and warm and heat some water so that I can continue. It would take maybe 3-4 minutes. Do I have to do the wudu again? No, because I'm working for the sake of wudu. Likewise, if I'm making wudu and I found that there is paint, and paint is an obstacle, so I brought the thinner and I started moving it and cleaning it, and it took me 2-3 minutes. I look in the mirror, my face is dry, my hand is dry. Do I have to make my wudu again? No, because I was in doing what I'm doing for the sake of my wudu, therefore it goes on. So I think that this is all the thing that we have regarding the second hadith. Move on to the third hadith.
Assalamu alaikum.
Salaam to Allah.
Narrated by Abdullah bin Amr ibn al-As and Abu Huraira and Aisha, may Allah be pleased with them, who said that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, woe to dry heels because of hellfire.
Okay, this hadith was narrated by three great companions, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, Abu Hurairah, and Aisha, may Allah be pleased with them, which means that it is quite famous. But what is the origin of this hadith? The origin, yani the Prophet was not sitting there once and said, by the way, woe to the heels because of hellfire. Definitely there was an incident. What was the incident? Scholars say, the incident was, the Prophet was traveling alayhi salatu wasalam with his companions in one of their expeditions, and once they set camp, they all started to make wudu for prayer. You know, when you're traveling, when it's hot, when it's dusty, when you're tired, sometimes you become a little bit lazy. And this is what happened to the companions. May Allah be pleased with them. They're performing wudu, but when it comes to the feet, like our children, if you watch children make wudu, you always find that this area is completely dry and their heels are not washed. So the Prophet looked at them and said, woe. The Arabic word is waylun, wail. This word is used in the Quran a lot. Waylun lil mutaffifin. Waylun likulli humazatin lumaza. So what is the meaning of wail? Wail is an Arabic word for warning and intimidation and threatening that you'll be punished. And some scholars say, no, wail is the name of a valley in hell. And in this valley runs all types of scorpions and snakes and so on. And the water that runs in it is the filthiest water you could think of. So Allah Azza wa Jal is warning us of these things, meant that those who do not offer, those who do not perform an accurate and perfect wudu, they will be punished in hell. Why? Because if your wudu is incomplete, your prayer is incomplete. Prayer is incomplete, you're not a Muslim. A person who does not pray is a kafir. This is the most authentic opinion of scholars, backed by the Quran and the Sunnah. Sahih Imam Muslim, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, between man and kufr, or associating others with Allah, is abandoning prayer. Abu Dawood narration, and whoever abandons a prayer is a kafir. So it is great importance to know and learn the importance of wudu. It is not a ritual that just wash and leave. It's a process, it's a sunnah, and the reward is unimaginable. The Prophet tells us, when you offer wudu, every sin you looked at fall with the last drop of water coming out of your face. Every sin you heard falls out with the last drop. Every sin you made falls out from your fingernails, and so on. So when you perform wudu, you're cleansing your body from different types of sins. So when you pray, this is an added value to you by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling them, I can see that there are dry areas in your heels, and that is why if you do not wash it properly, you are in great trouble. Abu Hurairah reports that the Prophet ﷺ saw a man with this much in his foot unwashed. The narration, Abu Huraira said, if this man dies, he would have died on a religion other than the religion of Prophet ﷺ, because his prayer would not be accepted. So it's a serious offense not to offer your wudu properly. And unfortunately, those who work in painting or construction, all the time we see them making wudu with old paints on their hands. Their prayer is invalid. Women put their manicures and they go to make wudu. You cannot. This is an obstacle. Water has to cover all the areas mentioned in the Quran. And if there is an obstacle, it has to be removed. Of course, I'm not talking about emergencies, as in the case of a person with a broken arm. How can he wash it? No, I'm talking about normal cases that people should look into. So, with this we conclude our hadith. We open the floor for any questions regarding to this topic or the previous topic if you wish. Yes, brother.
It is not permitted to urinate in a standing position.
You're asking me or you're telling me?
I'm asking because that is what we have been taught. That okay. is an opinion, a majority opinion, that you should not be urinating in a standing position. Mm-hmm. Now, my intent is to clear myself of this impurity, but when I go, let's say, to a mall or to in an airline where there are Western toilets, and I see it has been used before me and I can see urine on the flap. Now, I'm not comfortable in using that flap, but my intent is to, my intention is to, so if in that situation, if a person urinates in the standing position, given the intent that, does what?
Okay, I get your question.
Thank you.
And it would have been simpler if you said, is it permissible to urinate standing up or not? And I would say, yes, it is. Simple. The Prophet himself, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the authentic hadith, came to something like a junkyard, and the hadith says, urinated standing up. So the Prophet did it, alayhi salatu wasalam. You should not ask twice. However, there are hadiths that Aisha said, whoever tells you that the Prophet urinated standing up, he's a liar. Scholars said that this is what Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, knew, but not what the Prophet ﷺ did. Those who saw the Prophet outside reported it, and then we believe and we accept this. And the answer to the question is, even if you don't have to, you can urinate standing up, even if it's a clean place, even if you're in house, there is no preference. Some scholars said that it is preferable and recommended to urinate sitting down when you are unable to protect yourself from the splashes of urine back to you. But if it's secure and you know, mashallah, that it would not go back and touch your body or your clothes, urinate standing up. I'm afraid that this is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.